I think this goes back to the context of like, do you view sex as a sacred and special thing, or do you not? I think like everything starts there.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about, which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Are you spending too much money on ads? Want to increase your average order value? Are you eyeing that big exit from your business? Or have you been wondering how you can increase your lifetime value, build a community, and basically make more money through customer loyalty and retention? Let us help. Huckleberry Consulting brings over a decade of experience in client and customer success from the world's biggest companies. Let your customers tell you what they want. Visit consulthuckleberry.com to claim your free audit and quit leaving money on the table. Once again, that's consulthuckleberry.com. See you there.
Good morning, everyone. This is Carla. Happy Monday, and welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. For our topic today, I really hope this is none of your business because it's quite a sensitive one. Today, we're going to talk about how to help men quit porn and other vices. So I have my friend over here, Devin. He got into the porn addiction recovery industry after overcoming a 13-year addiction, which was extremely difficult for him. And then after feeling how much his life improved because of that change and all the other changes he had to make in his life in order to actually quit, he decided he wanted to help others with it too. So he shared that it came about very organically. He was just posting on Twitter what he was doing with his life. And eventually people started reaching out. So sometimes a career just builds itself, and sometimes we have no control where life takes us. So positively, one thing led to another. He ended up answering some questions, getting on calls with people who wanted his help. And he discovered that it was actually incredibly fulfilling work. So let's canonize this guy pretty soon. Then he realized how much potential there was in helping men specifically become better men. So he doubled down and tripled down in that space over the past several years. And 4 years later, here we are now, he has worked with over 100 different men from all over the world. And he also has impacted thousands of men who he may never meet for now, but he's continuing doing the work and he's really, really inspired by it. So Devin McDermott, did I read your last name right?
McDermott, but
McDermott. Yeah, sorry. How are you today?
Doing really well. Yeah, excited to be here. Excited to talk about everything that we've got on the agenda for the day. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. And so to our listeners, I met Devin at, what was that? Like a memory enhancing workshop or event in Playa del Carmen. So he also lives in Playa del Carmen. And then we, saw each other in different social circles. And then I saw him again a few weeks ago. And that was actually the only time we really got to talk about what we do for a living. And this was super interesting. And so I harassed him to come on my podcast, and finally that has been successful. So first, tell us your story, Devin. How did it start? How did you have that? How did you go from like your addiction, and then that moment where you're like, I need to quit and I need to try to help other people do this?
Yeah, all right, cool. So thank you so much for the lovely introduction, first of all, because I really couldn't have said it much better myself. You gave a really, really good summary there. But there are some great details that I can happily share about my own story with this stuff, starting from the very beginning, where the catalyst that made me start to realize that porn was a bit of an issue in my life. And before I even get into that specific issue, I just want to back it up and say that I was never actually a really like knockdown, drag out porn user, right? It wasn't like spending hours every day or anything like that. It was actually what a lot of guys would probably consider to be normal. Like you just are taking care of business once a day, 15 minutes a day, whatever it is, and you just kind of go about that as a kind of normal part of your lifestyle, right? It wasn't sitting there binging and doing anything super crazy or anything like that.
Binging. That sounds scary.
Well, yeah, binging, right? It's some guys do, right? Whether it's with alcohol or drugs or porn, some people really kind of lose themselves in it. And I just wanted to point out that I wasn't really that case. I was a pretty normal guy. But over time, I started to realize that there were some cracks in my life, things that were not quite going the way that I wanted them to. For example, I was doing okay with my endeavors in online business back then. I'm talking 7, 8 years ago. I was doing okay, but I wanted to do a lot better. I wanted to increase my income. I wanted to build a bigger presence. I wanted to do more with myself, which of course entailed doing more work. And yet, despite making all my plans, setting my goals, breaking them down into step-by-step things that I could work on every single day, I had a hard time actually motivating myself to follow through on those goals. Same thing with some of my fitness goals too. I always knew I wanted to be fit, have a good body. It was part of my values to be healthy, but I struggled to really follow through with consistency on those kinds of goals too. And as time went on, and I had this deep desire to expand and grow as a man, and yet I was for some reason not able to make it happen, I started to wonder, something's not right here. What's going on? Why do I have these big goals, these big dreams, and I have step-by-step plans on how to actually make them happen, and yet I can't follow the steps and make myself be consistent? What is happening? This is not normal for a guy in his mid-20s. And so that was part of where it began. That was part of what made me start to think like, something is up. And then one day, I randomly ended up remembering a video that I had seen many years before about the damage that porn does to your brain, about the way that it hammers your dopamine reward center and causes desensitization, the way that it can reduce your motivation, reduce your mental clarity, and just have it can really wreak havoc in your life in a similar way to like a cocaine addiction or something can. And it started to dawn on me like, oh shit, what have I been doing every day over the last 10 plus year? At that point, it was 11, 12 years. What have I been doing every day? And it started to click that perhaps the porn that I was using was part of the issue. Now, it goes beyond just the motivation and the productivity stuff as well. It actually gets a lot more personal than that too, where the reason I first saw a video about it years ago is because I was looking for answers about my own performance in the bedroom as well, where things were really not going as I would have expected. And that's about as vulnerable as it gets, but I'll just come right out and say it. I was having a phenomenon called porn-induced erectile dysfunction, where your system works just fine in front of the computer doing what I was doing on a day-to-day basis. But once I was in bed with someone who I wanted to connect with in that way, my brain was like, this is not stimulating enough. I wanted them. They wanted me. Everyone wanted that to happen. And it, like, my body just was not responding because of the way that my brain had been programmed to respond to a hand and a screen and all the stuff that comes along with pornography, which
Right.
for me, like, gut destroyingly horrible, right?
Right.
It cut me to my core and made
Right.
me feel less of a man and all sorts. I literally had nightmares about it
Oh,
for
I'm
years.
sorry. Especially at that age, right? In your 20s.
Yeah, right. So you're a guy at the prime in your life. Testosterone levels are never going to be higher than they are at that point in time. And I should have been totally good, and I wasn't.
Right.
And I knew when I first started looking into it that Viagra was not the answer in my
Right.
mid-20s.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think the pharmaceutical companies actually are making a freaking killing on guys who are trying to fix this problem that is ultimately coming from porn.
Right. With a
But
pill.
that is the picture of what was going wrong in my life that made me start to realize, oh shit, porn is poisoning me. And then from there, I made the decision, which was a very easy decision to make, that I needed to quit. It's the follow-through on that decision that was much harder than I expected.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing. That was definitely very honest and vulnerable, and I'm honored to that this podcast was a channel for you to share that and share your story with other people, because I actually heard about like young guys getting ED, and some of my guy friends would say stuff like, yeah, it's true, it happens sometimes, or something like that. And I know someone who was same thing. He's totally in love, head over heels in love with his girlfriend, and same thing, girlfriend love, they had no problems whatsoever, no one's cheating, no one's nothing, and it just wouldn't happen. And it was so weird. And yeah, they did, the guy started taking Viagra to fix it. But he's a young guy, and he's a, he goes to the gym, and like nothing's wrong with him. Looking back, maybe that was it. Maybe it was porn, or maybe it was something else, maybe some other addiction also, but very likely it does make sense. Now I'm really having an aha moment here. So that's insane. That's insane. Men and women are so different in that aspect. Wow, that was thank you for sharing again. And
And if I may very briefly here interject, it is completely insane. And this is part of why I share so openly about what I've gone through, because people need to understand this connection. It's horrible, and it's really, really bad for men's mental health. It's bad for women's mental health. It's bad for their relationships overall. And the rates of erectile dysfunction in men under 40 have literally 10x'd, from roughly 3% of guys under 40 experiencing problems with that to now around 30% of guys under 40 saying that this is an issue for them sometimes. And that's just the guys who will admit it in a survey. And that's a change that has come around since the late 2000s, 2008-ish era, where high-speed internet porn became much more easily accessible.
You're
That's crazy.
absolutely right. It's the convenience. It's like door dashing food, right? It's like we now never leave our house because we can just get food door dash. We never cook because we can just do it. Like the first porn I watched was like a DVD, or I think it was like a DVD or something like that. I was in college, and it was definitely quite a hassle to do it and hide it from my parents and stuff. But now, within
Not
seconds,
anymore.
Yeah, and you have endless categories. If you start all the porn from letter A to Z, I don't know, it'd probably take you 3 years and you're still on anal.
You would never get there. It's too much.
I know. So, why do you think there's so much porn right now? Is it just like money? Why is it so like prevalent or something?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I think the first and foremost answer to that is supply and demand. There's a lot of human beings. Everyone is sexual in nature, and men in particular are really drawn to visual stimuli. We always have been. We're more visual creatures than women are. And so for men, pornography is really, really alluring. So there's just a massive amount of demand for it, in particular because it hijacks the reproductive part of the male brain. Like we are hardwired to seek out that kind of stimuli. And so once we find it, our brain tells us to go get more, go get more, go get more, go get more. So there's just an incredible amount of demand of billions of men who want it. Not necessarily by any fault or even like conscious decision of their own, but it's just their programming is hijacked.
Because I remember they used to say that in mating, men look for visual clues, as in like, are your hips like a child rearing hips? Like a woman's body, like the shape of her body, like a guy's attracted to a healthy quote unquote body for meant for childbearing. And women get attracted to like feelings of safety and security, and you don't need to, that doesn't need to be visual at all, right? So I guess that's how, that's the difference there. That's why there's a higher like kind of threat of men and porn addiction. And by the way, speaking of women and porn also, if you're listening, please check out my episode with Zoe. And you can just find it on my podcast. We talked about how men and women watch porn differently and what a woman's experience is watching porn. It's also a very good conversation, guys.
I will have to check that out myself. That
Yeah,
sounds
I know. And
fun.
maybe you and Zoe can have a debate or something. Just kidding. But yeah, I totally
would
hear you.
probably have a lot of alignment, actually, if I had to
True.
guess.
True, true, true. Yeah, I think you will like each other actually. Because you both of you are my friends. And so there's like a higher risk for men, and you saw this. And what are your thoughts on like this other kind of, I would say, arm or type of pornography, which is like OnlyFans, which is like pornography coupled with a parasocial relationship.
Yeah, it's a very strange world, actually. I was digging into some statistics about this very recently here, actually. And the number of people, the number of men who are subscribed on OnlyFans is insane. In the United States in particular, there are about 80 million men who are subscribed on OnlyFans. So to put that in perspective, there are about 165 million men
Oh my God.
in the United States in total, and half of them, fully half of them, are subscribed on OnlyFans to
Let
someone.
me just pause this episode and check my husband's phone.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Jeez, wait. Yeah, hold on. I thought something actually came up for a moment there, but nope. it's insane, really. And this is, what that points to is that a vast majority of these men are just completely normal guys. right? They're guys with normal careers. They have families. They have kids. They're
They go
just
to
normal guys.
church.
Yeah, and so there's something that is extra alluring to guys about that parasocial relationship that comes along with that. And I don't like it, as you might have guessed. I actually view it as being somewhat parasitic.
It is, I think so.
Yeah, well, these. It's a blade that cuts both ways, right? So I don't want to make it sound like I'm demonizing anybody, but the nature of OnlyFans kind of takes advantage of men's loneliness and their desire for connection. And then at the same time, the men are feeding into something that I ultimately view as women kind of selling their souls, as sad as it sounds, and as harsh as it may sound. And I do recognize it sounds kind of harsh, but it's a really unhealthy dynamic.
I totally hear you. And of course, for our listeners, this is our our opinions. Feel free to give us comments, share your own insights in the comment section. We're happy to hear all of you, and all opinions are welcome. For me, as a woman, I did have some conflicting thoughts about OnlyFans before, because it's kind of like, yay, go girl, go get your bag. And or like a single mom, if you can feed your kids while just like taking a few pictures at home or something like that, like I guess go you or something. But then on the other side, I also feel like it is robbing women of their actual potential, their creativity, their intelligence, acknowledgement of that. I think it's robbing us of the acknowledgement of these other qualities that we can give to the world and contribute positively. I think it's objectification. And yes, I can be pretty and smart and all of these things. And I want to be all of those, not just like, a picture you jerk off to, and then I get, I don't know, $10 from it. It's a but like I said, to be completely honest with you, I am still very conflicted with my feelings, because I have also met some like sex workers on OnlyFans who have told me that it was like their only way out of an economical hardship. So I guess it's
Yeah.
how I feel with Herbalife too, and sometimes MLMs. It's like, oh, not really ideal, but I guess, if it helped you in your particular situation,
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, and it's something that I would also like to highlight for myself. Regardless of my own feelings around it, which are admittedly a little bit biased because I literally help men quit porn for a living, I do also have some mixed feelings about it. It's hard to blame women for, in some cases, taking the easy path, right? It is an easy way of generating some income. You don't need a particularly high level of skill or what have you. But then even more than that, there are a lot of women out there who are in economically challenging times. Especially, we all know that the economy and just like the economic reality of the world has not been really moving in a great direction for your average person. And so there are a lot of women, millions all around the world, who are in economically challenging times, who this can represent like an easy way out for, or maybe not even easy. There's a lot of competition on there. So it does require something to stand out. But it's hard to blame these women. And then furthermore, I've actually met some sex workers who have their shit together pretty well too, who are really working on themselves as people and actually have pretty good values overall. And yet it does seem to negatively affect like their self-worth and their self-image as well.
I think this goes back to the context of like, do you view sex as a sacred and special thing? or do you not? I think like everything starts there, right? I think it's obvious you and I share are on the same side of that conversation. And then I know some people are like, well, you know, it's just another job, just another day, and supply and demand, you know, something like that. So, and also there's also guys who are on OnlyFans, like male sex workers and vice versa. And females are also consumers of this content, and all the colors of the rainbow, the LGBTQIA, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you said something interesting there that reminded me of this story that's come out recently of this woman who
Yeah.
slept with 100 guys in one day
Yeah.
on OnlyFans. And there's an interesting YouTube, like safe for work documentary
Right.
on YouTube about it that I actually watched yesterday, just to see what was going on with this story. And the sacredness of sex is actually something that she spoke about, where this woman, Lily Phillips
Yeah.
is her name, in interviews about this process and just about her life as a sex worker as well, she said that she used to view sex as something that is sacred. I think that was really, really special. And at some point, she actually even wanted to wait until marriage.
Right.
And now she views it as something that's not even special at all,
Yeah.
right? That magic is completely gone for
Yeah.
her. Really interesting stuff. And at least from what I could tell, she looked pretty emotionally destroyed by the end of that process.
I know, I saw that. It was so, I wanted to cry too. It was, and she said it had just been a long day. You think? And she was just exhausted. That's why she cried. But as a woman, I know that cry. I know that cry. That's something else. I felt like she was traumatized, and I genuinely think what she did was self-harm, without her knowing, you know. It was
Yeah,
insane.
sadly.
Yeah. When so she did, she published, I saw that too. She published like applications for it, and it was so crazy. She said that someone asked her, what if your dad's friends like apply, or your cousins? And she was like, it's fine, like let's go. And I was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, part of what I saw in that documentary was her actually talking about how some of the people that contact her on OnlyFans are her dad's friends or people that she went to school with
Oh,
or what
yeah.
have you. And she does her work with them,
Yeah.
talks to them and whatever else. And what a strange dynamic that is.
I know. So that was crazy. And another funny part of that story is the Airbnb owner wanted to sue her or something because they didn't disclose that they would be doing that in the Airbnb. So
Wow.
yes, I guess someone had a one-star guest review after that. So that was crazy. And the other crazier thing is I heard she wants to go for a thousand guys.
This is what she is now apparently in training for,
Oh
is
gosh.
1,000 guys in 24 hours, which is unfathomable, really.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of another aspect of just our culture's views on sex these
Yeah.
days, where it seems like for some people, having more sex with more people is a bit of a badge of honor. Like I've even heard some strange stories of women like purposely racking up their notch count
Yeah. Yeah.
as some sort of badge of honor. And to me, I think it's backwards. I think it's strange because I do think it is something that should be more sacred. And this is a core part of my value systems and me rebelling against degeneracy is what I started to think of it. I used to really be a rebel in the world of degeneracy, right? Where I was just partying a lot and just having a lot of fun and letting loose. And something has really shifted in me over the last several years, where now I'm a rebel for the good side. I'm a rebel against degeneracy and for good value, good lifestyle choices.
You're that one guy who's sober in a jungle party or something like that.
And
I describe you very well.
not even really going to jungle parties so much anymore, but yes.
I still enjoy it. I've gone to jungle parties completely sober, and I just danced all night and was awesome. I just had a Sprite and it was awesome.
Love it. Love it.
But I want to touch on that comment, as a woman. I think that the notoriety that she gets from it is kind of an extreme version of showing sexy pictures on social media for vanity likes. So in the past, I will not deny that I fell into that trap. It's like I'm going to show my body on social media and get a lot of likes and maybe some messages from guys, obviously when I was single, and that will make me feel good. And I tied that to my attractiveness level, which I tied to my sense of self-worth, which I tied to how content I am that day. And because of all of these ties, it led me to showing my body on social media. And I realized that after a while that the likes were so cheap. They were just so fleeting, they meant nothing. And I started getting disgusted when some of my married friends were like messaging me. That's actually how, that's when I stopped. And I'm like, my God, this is disgusting. And so I turned from like, wow, I'm so hot, I'm getting all these likes, I love myself, and to like, this is disgusting, you are disgusting. And then
Wow.
I am making you disgusting, so I need to stop.
And isn't that an interesting two-way street, right? Everyone is
Responsibility, yes.
everyone's contributing to your problem. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I've actually come to the realization, at least in my perspective, that I think social media can often hijack women's brains in the same way, roughly, that porn hijacks the male brain, right? There's like a male reproductive prerogative to, as you may have heard, like spread your seed far and wide. And porn for us really hijacks that drive. And it's like, wow, you have unlimited partners. Good job. Go get it. Sweet. And for women, part of their mating prerogative comes from safety and security and making sure that they're being provided for. And if you have a lot of potential suitors, let's say, who are liking your photos, excuse me, who are liking your photos, who are reaching out, who are in communication with you, then there's a fairly long line of people that can provide that sense of security and I will be provided for. So I think this is part of the mechanism that's going on for women in their addictions to social media too, which at least from the conversations that I've had and from what I've observed, it does seem like in the same way that porn is something that men disproportionately struggle with, it seems like women are often disproportionately struggling with addiction to things like Instagram or other so they can get that validation.
I totally agree with you. And just like porn, a normal person would be seemingly helpless because there is a team on the other side of this coin. Is a team of engineers, addiction engineers. Literally, these social media companies have hired engineers from Vegas to identify like the ding, the exact decibel of the ding of your phone when you get a ping, the colors. Why do these bubbles show up when someone's typing? Everything is designed to get you addicted, just like porn, right? So they would just want your eyes glued to the screen. Like, it's like you click this thing because you want to watch this porn. While the porn is loading, you get an ad for another porn site. Like, isn't that insane?
It is, it is. And it's a nice kind of full circle back to a question that you asked a little while ago about why is this so prevalent?
Right.
Because not only does it hijack our reproductive drive, but there are forces out there that are purposely making it as addictive as possible
Yeah.
too. And they're really freaking good at it. They've
And they're
invested
so good. Exactly.
endless millions and billions of dollars into this kind of research to get people to
Exactly.
dump as much of their time and attention and energy as possible into the porn, the social media, the Netflix, the whatever it is, right? And this is why it goes beyond just porn in my work too, but it actually we end up touching on all sorts of digital vices because people lose a lot of their time, energy, and potential to all of this stuff, not just porn. Porn is one of the
Yeah.
worst, but it goes deeper than that.
Yeah, I wanna address that line. You said porn is one of the worst, so there's like less bad things, less bad addictions, and there's worse addictions. Why do you think porn is one of the worst, or if it is the worst?
Yeah, so the reason that porn is so destructive is because of the amount of dopamine that it releases. So sex is the number one highest release of dopamine that the human body is capable of producing on its own without an exogenous influence like drugs or something like that. Sex
Interesting.
is the number one highest. But in normal sex, you go up and you come down. Whereas with pornography, and in particular, when guys are using it day after day, they're in this search for novelty that keeps the dopamine levels very high. And as soon as the novelty level dips a little bit, they find another clip, and then they find another clip, and they find another clip, and they find another girl. And they keep their dopamine levels artificially inflated at the maximum level for the entire time that they're viewing. So instead of sex being a, well, hopefully more than 5 minutes, but 10, 15, 20,
All
30,
busy.
whatever, however long your experience is normally,
Right.
guys are able to artificially inflate their dopamine levels for potentially hours
Huh.
to the absolute maximum. And when the brain is being flooded by so much dopamine, this is when we get desensitization, where the
Right.
dopamine receptors in the brain are overloaded. So they start to essentially recede into themselves to kind of tone down the amount of dopamine that they're receiving, which makes our brains less sensitive to dopamine, which means we need to release more dopamine to get the same feelings that we were before. Which is how escalation happens. And it's also how people end up losing their motivation for things that they used to enjoy or things that used to come to them more easily because just not releasing enough dopamine for them.
Right. That's
And
scary.
this is in stark contrast to normal sexuality or even to things like drugs or alcohol, for example, where you can only consume so much. But with porn, there is no limiter. So some guys really can get into a deep hole.
And it's completely free. Let me add that.
Yes, in contrast again to
Right? Alcohol or drugs.
alcohol, drugs, or even sex, where you have to at least invest some time and
Yeah.
effort into that process,
Yeah.
right? But with porn, it's right there at a moment's notice. And this is why it's so bad in comparison to just about everything else, even hard drugs, right? Like even something like cocaine. Porn is a bigger problem than even that. And the science backs that up. That's not just my opinion.
Right.
We can go down that research rabbit hole another time, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, guys, Devin is not saying that cocaine is okay. I just want to clarify
No,
that.
that's true. No, it's extremely destructive.
Someone
Yeah.
might be listening to this and their aha moment is, oh, so cocaine is fine. It's porn that's bad.
No, cocaine is very, very bad as well.
That is
That's
not the takeaway
yep. That's a different cup of tea, but not recommended.
Yeah. Wow, that's I really like that. I really like that kind of deep dive. And you're absolutely right. Like, there's just so many factors that make porn so dangerous, and more dangerous than these other things. But if you just look at it on a, I don't know, like in one go, you have like porn, alcohol, whatever, like eating sugar, drugs. You would think that porn is one of the less like dangerous one because like it's fine. Like we all do it. We all watch porn. It's fine, but it's actually much deeper than that. So thank you for sharing that. What do
Thank
you
you.
think are, say, the top two most common misconceptions that people have about porn addiction?
It's a good question. I think first and foremost would be people thinking that they're not addicted to it.
Ah.
Because they're not using it for hours every day, and it's just every now and then. Maybe it's just a couple times per week, and everybody does it, and it's normal, and all this stuff. I think people have a misconception around what porn addiction is. And the definition, clinically speaking, is very simple. Addiction is when something is causing problems in our lives. It's when it's getting in the way of our better interests, and yet we struggle to stop doing that behavior. And porn is always going to be getting in the way of our better interests. If we want to have better relationships, deeper intimacy, better communication, be more emotionally stable, be more motivated, feel better about ourselves, have higher confidence, and generally show up as our best selves in our lives, porn gets in the way of that. And yet, most people, when they try to stop, will find it more difficult than they expected, which is pretty much addiction in a nutshell. So most people that use it are addicted to it, and they just don't actually realize it.
So I read that one of the best definitions of addiction that I came across with is addiction is a narrowing down of things that give you pleasure. And you're in that moment where you feel like it, right? If you always lead to porn, then that is a problem, right? Because now you're narrowing down the thing that will give you pleasure at that moment, and there's just nothing else, right? Obviously, if you're single, there might be other ways. So I guess I have a question then. So if it's not porn and you're just like masturbating and like imagining things, is that okay? Or is that
Of
okay?
course. Of course. Yeah. So there's a couple things that I want to share here. First of all, I just want to say that I'm not actually trying to call anybody out or point any because I know how personal and I know how uncomfortable it can be to look at some of these things and how people can kind of like have their guard come up. And I'm not trying to call anybody out. Now, regarding masturbation, this is something that people have been doing for all time. It can still be destructive. It can still be compulsive and an addiction. But I do want to just make it very clear that it is modern high-speed pornography that has really changed the nature of this from something that is maybe not that great for us, but kind of whatever, it's probably like it's mostly fine, into this really dark, evil, destructive vice that it is. It's the high speed internet porn part of that that is really, really bad. My personal philosophy is that masturbation is still not all that healthy or helpful for men. It's still just a big drain of time and energy that ideally we would rather just be putting into real connection with real people, or putting into our work and our other efforts in life. So my personal philosophy is I choose not to do that anymore. But if someone wants to and they're engaging with it in a healthy way that's not compulsive, it's no big deal,
Yeah, like what if your husband's in Iraq or something?
Yeah, and it's completely fine,
Yeah,
really.
just Carla here, patron saint of military wives. I got you, girls.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we do all have needs, right? Our
Right.
sexual needs are a very real part of us, and there's no one right or wrong way to go about meeting those needs.
Yeah. That's right. I think that's also another kind of thing that I would love for a lot of people to explore, like an expansion of the expression of your sex, right? Or your desires. One of my friends shared with me that he met this girl who introduced, what was the term? Tantric sex or something to him. And he said he was so blown away because he ejaculated without being touched. It was just like all energy. And he was like, I am a guy. I need to be touched. But it totally happened and he could not believe it. And because he could not believe it, he could not stop talking about it. And it was pretty funny for me because I almost don't believe him, but I know enough about that thing to completely believe him, right? So I think that's also it's a very encouraging story, right? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so Tantra is a whole very interesting world of a very deep level of intimacy that I really recommend people, as you said, expand their horizon and experiment with. This is part of why I choose not to masturbate as well, is I save that energy for real intimacy with my partner. And even while we're being intimate, I choose to practice Tantra, or rather a subset of Tantra called Kareza, a vast, vast majority of the time, because it is much deeper and much more connected and ultimately much more pleasurable.
Yeah.
And this is something that you can really only start to experiment with and enjoy once the influence of porn is removed from your life.
Yeah, I
There is
totally
something
agree.
deeper and more amazing to be discovered when you remove porn from your life and start going down that tantric route and exploring what's there. It's
Yeah.
really.
No, I totally agree with you. My husband and I also have kind of like made a promise to maybe like super duper duper minimize like outside influences. I don't think I haven't watched porn in a while, and I think him as well. And then like of course we're together all the time, so there's really no need, we can just have sex all the time. But I noticed when we started doing that, it definitely made our relationship deeper and sex more pleasurable for us. And it's also honestly, it has also made me, how do I say this? It's just like, it has made me feel like closer to him, and it has inspired me to build things with him more, in a weird way. Like it has transcended outside of the bedroom too. Like, Yeah, and it's crazy because this comes back to like your point of like porn addiction is really bad for you, that because it seeps into other areas of your life, but the other could be true once you get rid of it and you have better practices in this area, other parts of your life will improve too. So tell me about some success stories with your students, and what are some of the things that they were able to surprisingly improve once they got out of porn addiction?
Yeah, happy to share. I've got quite a few
You have
different stories,
tons, I
really
know.
cool things that have happened over time. So I'll pick out a couple favorites. And first I'll just say that it's not surprising to me that things have really improved outside of the bedroom within your relationship as well. When, like, from your perspective, on a rather unconscious level, perhaps, but you're no longer in competition with an endless supply of, like,
Women hotter than me.
like airbrushed nine and 10 out of 10 women who just look perfect, and you're just in competition with an endless
True.
ocean of them. Like, it's not happening anymore. And of course you're gonna feel more cherished and more connected with him. But I digress on that point for now. So a few different, let me pick out a couple favorite stories here. One is about just how quickly things can start to turn around. So I had a client who will remain completely anonymous here, but let's just say he was an executive of a very large company, very high power sort of guy who had a lot of good things going for him in life. Amazing social life, all the toys, all the fun things, enough money to do whatever he wanted, go wherever he wants, and really like building something incredible out of his life. Who had been married for over 30 years. And in his marriage, they were experiencing a dead bedroom, is what we call it, where they hadn't had sex in close to a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And for many years, it had actually been just happening very, very infrequently. That fire was not really there anymore. And this was the one part of this guy's life, because again, very high-powered guy with a lot going for him. Most things in his life were going the way that he wanted them to. But his marriage and his intimacy was not. So he came to me. We started working together to remove the influence of porn from his life. And within 3 weeks, he went through a massive transformation. Sometimes it can happen really quickly. So 3 weeks into us working together, he had been completely clean from porn the entire time. And what a surprise, he started making more moves on his wife. Because he was no longer satisfying his sexual needs on his own in private. He
Ah, that's right.
naturally felt more of a drive to make moves on his wife.
Right.
The outlet, like the healthiest outlet possible for that
Right.
sexual energy, right? But he had been draining it on his own for a long time. So he started making more moves on her, and again, what a surprise. She was receptive to it. She wanted that too. She had been waiting and wanting for him to make moves on her, and he just then. So she was receptive to it. They ended up being intimate, just again a few weeks into this process. And then 2 days later, he texted me about what happened. And not only was she receptive to him on that day, but 2 days later, she made moves on him. She initiated, and they did it again. And then they've been going steady ever since. They've reignited that fire in their relationship after over 30 years of marriage. In just a few weeks of staying clean, no longer taking care of it himself, so to say.
Well, I love that story. That's so nice because on the side of the girl, I can totally get that. It sometimes it is I can't find the right word, but demeaning to make the first move, especially if it's like your spouse, because we want to feel desired. And I know men want to feel desired too, but women, we have been trained by society, and we always receive this messaging from media that you're how desirable you are is linked to your attractiveness, and you know, and all these stories about your youth is your best asset, your looks is your like, yes, I can argue against that, but with that conditioning, it always makes us feel down and unattractive, and you know, if our husband is not making moves on us. And so it's funny that that's all he needed to do, right? Like make his wife feel desirable again.
Yep. Stop taking care of it yourself until your brain is like, let's go for the other option then.
Right. The last resort. Just kidding.
And at the end of the day, it is the more masculine role to initiate and take moves. It's the more feminine role to receive.
True.
Right. So it's kind of flipping it a bit. If the woman is always feeling like she has to initiate to get what she wants.
Right.
And then I've got a couple other really cool stories too. Like I had another guy. Well, there's a common theme with a lot of my guys. They're like these kind of high-powered guys who really have their shit together in a lot of ways, but this one thing is just holding them back. So this is another guy, a very similar situation, who is trying to conceive with his wife. They were like ready for it and had been working on conceiving for a while. And yet he was struggling with really severe porn-induced erectile dysfunction to
Oh, I see. I
the
see.
point where Viagra was not even working for him anymore.
Oof.
Yeah. So he would take Viagra and it still wouldn't work. Can you imagine how horrible that must feel? Now you're dealing with all the side effects of Viagra and still not
Oh,
even.
my God.
So this poor guy was, he was awake at 3, 4 in the morning, staring at the frickin' ceiling with this thought going through his head about how I can't perform, I can't perform, I can't perform. What's wrong with me? Just completely racked with anxiety. And a couple cool things happened while working with him. First of all, we got him clean right away. And as time went on and he spent more time completely clean, I would say around a month into the process, not only did things start working better for him, not only did he get to a point where he was no longer needing Viagra, but he also started to have more open and honest conversations with his wife about sex, about his needs and her needs, what they both wanted in the bedroom. And for him, part of why he had been using porn was because he had certain interests that he felt he could only indulge in through porn, right? Certain fetishes, certain things that he was into. And what he came to find out as he had conversations with his wife was that she was actually extremely willing to experiment and explore with him. And he had just never steered the conversation in that.
Right.
And so he found that he did not actually need porn at all to enjoy some of those things that he was into. He
He
just
got the
had to,
best deal. Yeah.
yeah, he just had to talk with his partner. And so they started experimenting and exploring. And I don't know all the details of that, and I don't want to know the details of that, but I know that those desires were able to be fulfilled for him, and they've developed a much, much more satisfying sex life where he's no longer dependent on Viagra. So he's able to be spontaneous and have fun. And they conceived a child within the first 2 months. And now he's a father. And I've seen pictures of him with the baby, and it's really, really cool to know that I played some hand in that. At the end of the day, it's, you know, all the credit really goes to the guys for putting in the work and following along with the process. But this is where the work that I do becomes so fulfilling, to see
Absolutely.
that really tangible difference made in someone's life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I hope that if some guys are listening and you feel embarrassed because you're now realizing that you're addicted to porn or that you need to stop, it's like there's no shame in it. Like, see, like your stories of like these high power executives, these fathers, these husbands, these powerful people, rich people, it's like porn picks no one. So and that's why it's so addictive, right? It picks no one. It's completely free, and but it also can do a lot of damage because of those factors. So yeah, thank you for sharing those stories.
And thank you for providing the space to share them in. And I do think that there's a really good point in what you just said. Almost all of my clients are normal guys. Everyone who struggles with this stuff, most of them are normal guys. They're not weird, they're not creepy, they're not like basement dwellers,
Incels.
they're not strange people or anything. They're
Right.
just normal guys. They're
Right.
friends, their fathers, their husbands,
Yeah.
their coworkers, their bosses, their managers. They're just normal guys, and many of them don't even realize how destructive this stuff is, which was the case for me for so many years. I remember I used to feel when I would hear people like Zig Ziglar. Some of you might be familiar with Zig Ziglar in the self-improvement world, someone who's given a lot of speeches and stuff over time related to Jim Rohn and all that. I remember hearing him say in some of his seminars about how pornography was extremely destructive. And in my mind, I was like, okay, boomer, whatever. I was completely unwilling to hear it. And it is how that script has flipped for me.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, it's awesome to hear all of these success stories and the fact that it can like happen to anyone. So let's talk about solutions. Do you ever find like a root cause for this behavior? And what are maybe you can give us some generic like steps on how to get over it? Or is it just like quit cold turkey, just stop, don't do it?
If it was as simple as just quitting cold turkey and just not doing it, then I would not have a career, would not have a job. So it takes a lot more than that for a lot of guys. So let's talk about what we actually do about it, how I actually help guys quit. And there's a few different aspects to this that I'll try and keep fairly brief, just so that it's not too much for people to digest. So a couple different things. Number one is just this big umbrella that I like to refer to as the masculine core being out of alignment. So when a guy's masculine core is out of alignment, he is not aligned with the better parts of his masculine energy. The purpose-driven, value-oriented, self-control, disciplined parts of his being. And this can be a massive, massive problem because if we talk about it in more generic terms here, one of the biggest problems behind why guys end up using this stuff and coming back to it over and over and over is because they are fundamentally dissatisfied with some aspect of their lives. They're lacking purpose. They're lacking a mission to be on. And until they fix that, if they are continually dissatisfied with how they're living and who they're being and how they're showing up in their lives, then it will be very, very hard for them to stay clean because their brain is going to continue seeking that escapism. The other aspect beyond having a satisfying lifestyle that we do not want to escape from is understanding how to control those impulses and having that self-control and that inner discipline, right? So there's a couple distinct factors of this masculine core piece. You have the external stuff, your lifestyle and how you're living, and you have the internal stuff, your impulse control, your emotional maturity, your ability to moderate yourself within. So when I'm working with guys, we focus on the external and the lifestyle stuff, but we also focus a lot on the internal work. And I'll be perfectly blunt that the internal work is where probably 80% of guys need to put the majority of the work in. At least among my clients. As I said, a lot of them have a lot of good things figured out in their lives already, but they're missing the internal work. They don't know how to control their thoughts and control their impulses. They are using porn as a type of escapism, and they don't know how to develop healthier coping mechanisms for whatever stresses they're experiencing. So when they feel stressed, when
Yeah,
they
I've
get
heard
anxious.
that. I've heard that from guys before. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I just wanted to relax.
Yeah,
Oh, have a
exactly.
Kit Kat, bro.
Yep.
Call your
When they're
mom. Call your mom.
when
You want to relax? Pray.
Yep. Yeah, so when they're stressed, when they're bored, when they want to blow off some steam, when their wife rejects them or whatever it is, their mind immediately jumps to porn because they've just been developing that escapism pattern for many years. It's like their go-to response to many different situations. And so part of what we need to do is get in there and start to install some healthier coping mechanisms for those emotions as well. Developing impulse control, developing the ability to take control over your thoughts when they start to move in a direction that's not aligned with what you want. Another one is rationalizations. There are thoughts that guys keep on using to justify it over and over. And as long as you believe your own rationalizations, then you'll keep on convincing yourself that it's okay to go back and do it again. So we need to address those things too. So this is a little bit of a high level overview with some really big concepts in there that, of course, I'm just touching on very lightly, but we work on these things over the course of a couple of months. And as we do, it turns into a very cohesive, well-rounded approach where we're really attacking the problem from all angles.
I totally hear you. I think that it you gave such a good picture of what it all entails to for this one thing to happen. And you're absolutely right. It's like sometimes you think it's like such a small thing. It's like, ah, cigarette here or there, right? It seems like we treat it the same way, right? Or an occasional pint of ice cream, like that, but you didn't know you're sugar addicted or something like that. So sometimes we treat it like that, but it's actually more than that. So tell me a little bit, how does progress look like? Is it, for example, if I'm your client, is it like I watch porn for 10 minutes and today I only watch for 5 minutes? Or what does that look like? How do people usually progress in this thing? Or do I journal it out? Or how does that look like in your line of work?
Yeah, so it's a good question. To address something that you said before, cold turkey is actually the easiest. So I do not take a reduction approach. I take a cutting it off completely as soon as possible approach, which on the surface sometimes might sound a little bit more challenging to somebody. The brain is like, oh, wouldn't it be easier if I could just have like a little bit, but less often?
Instead of gangbangs, what about the threesome?
Instead of 15 minutes, what if it's 7?
That's still
And
two songs. That's still very long.
this is something that our brains like to do with anything addictive.
Rationalization. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, wouldn't it be easier if I could just like control it better or something? But the reality is that it is extremely, extremely addictive. And the amount of energy that it takes to try and control it, even if you could control it, which is unlikely, trying to would take a lot of time and energy. It actually ends up being easier to just stop entirely. So what progress looks like very often with the guys that I work with is they stop right from our first day of working together and they never go back. However, it is often not that simple. Even with some of my clients, sometimes mistakes happen, but especially if you're trying to figure it out on your own and you're not working with someone like myself who can show you the step-by-step process, slip-ups are often a part of that process too. And what I always say is when a slip-up does happen, the most important thing that we can do is to learn from what happened. To look at it as a learning opportunity, to reflect on it and extract as many lessons as possible from what happened, and then ask ourselves how we can do better in the future to prevent those same patterns from playing out again. And as long as someone is making those kind of reflections whenever something that is not aligned with their goals happens, then they are going to be making progress. So hopefully that answers the question a little bit of what progress looks like.
I was really curious about that. Because it's not a normal addiction, like you said, right? And like you said, even if someone slips up, it's always a safe space. You can just start all over again. Very quickly, are there any tools and resources that you use? Is there like a porn blocker app that you recommend or something like that?
There's not a lot in terms of applications because I generally don't believe in relying on blockers in the same way that I don't believe in just getting a girlfriend as being a solution to this either, right? If we're relying on something external to prevent us from accessing it, then at some point we're going to just fall back into the trap because we're not internally controlling ourselves. We're not developing that internal set of muscles. We're relying on something else. And that something else, sooner or later, is not going to be there. Sooner or later, your girlfriend is going to travel. You're going to be apart for some reason. You're going to end up on a device that does not have blockers on it. And what then? Well, that's where you need to have developed the skill to control yourself. That said, there are some things that I've used over time that I really like that can make it easier to take that control. For example, for mobile devices, there's an application called OneSec, as in what, like 1 second, but the shorthand, OneSec, that adds a little delay before you open whatever application you want to use.
Oh, I heard about this. Yeah. Some of my girlfriends use that for Instagram, actually.
Yes. It's amazing for anything that your thumb goes and just kind of compulsively opens, any social media app or your web browser,
Amazon.
Amazon.
If you have a shopping addiction.
So using this application, you can put, let's say, a 20-second delay before you can even open the app. So your thumb will go and automatically try and open it, and it gives you 20 extra seconds to be like, do I actually want to open this? And it'll very naturally reduce your desire to use it. And
Because
this is
now,
something I actually really like because you're still developing the internal control. You just have something that is widening the gap to give you more time to make a good decision.
It's not taking the decision away from you or the power away from you completely. You're just it's just a little hurdle. One of my girlfriends, I saw her use it, and the app literally put on the screen, "Take three deep breaths with me right now."
Yep, time to take a deep breath. And it works very, very well. So
Yeah,
you
it's more
could
intentional.
so you could apply this to some of your problem applications. There is a similar sort of app. It's actually a program for computers that I've heard of too. called Plucky,
Hmm.
Plucky, that functions pretty similarly, but is way, way more complex to set up. It's not just like downloading an app and now it's good to go. It's a lot more complex from what I know. But that is a similar sort of option for the computer too, that still allows you to make the decision and be in control. It's not just completely removing your access, which, just to tie that point all together, is part of how you stay clean long term, is by having that skill to make the right choices within you.
In the
Otherwise,
moment.
sooner or later, you'll just fall back in.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, those are really cool. I'm gonna write down those resources so you guys can also check it out. It reminds me of this thing I use on my computer called Newsfeed Eradicator, where you can use social media without a newsfeed. So you're just purely a creator and not a consumer of content.
Ooh, I might have to check that one out because
It
I
erases
already
your newsfeed,
consume
but
the
you can
content.
post. You can post, but it erases your newsfeed. And the fun thing is, instead of your newsfeed, there's always like a lovely quote. Like
Love it.
I know, it's nice. It's kind of nice. Yeah, I've been using it for years.
That's awesome. Yeah, please do send that to me afterward.
I will for sure. So before we end this podcast, of course, I want to end this on a positive note also. I know that you've helped over 100 guys heal from porn addiction. By the way, have you worked with women? Just curious.
I have on a couple occasions,
Wow, interesting.
but usually women do not seem to struggle with it the same way. Meaning, like, there are women out there who use porn and there are some women who are addicted to it, but even the women who end up addicted to it, they usually have an easier time stopping than guys do. Something about it really hijacks the male brain in particular.
I think I have my theory would be one of my friends actually recently posted that one of the things that men really struggle with are building deep social connections and friendships with other men, that women so easily can make and do. And that's why men tend to become more depressed or a higher suicide rate for men. More men tend to be like incarcerated, less men graduate, like all these things are all tied together. And also why married men tend to live longer than unmarried men or widowers even. So my theory for that, I think, would be if how you explained is how porn hijacks our brain. I think it's because women are very multifaceted and we always just have a lot of things going in our lives too. That it's kind of like I have so many things going in my life and that increases the probability of me getting pleasure from these things, right? Because women are natural carers. We have deeper friendships. We have deeper even like relationships with like our siblings and our cousins compared to men and their male cousins. So, I can totally understand what you said, what you shared.
Yeah, love it.
So,
So, you can go ahead.
I was to finish my question. So, from these stories of success stories that you've had, people that you've helped, what advice would you give to someone who feels hopeless about like overcoming their struggles? Maybe it is just now that they're realizing how deep this problem is and how it's affecting them. What advice would you give them instead of like feeling hopeless about their situation?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I think the most important that I would start with is just that you can overcome it 100%. I was lost. I was in a really rough place and it was extremely, extremely, extremely hard for me to stop. I have a very addictive personality and it took a lot of work and effort for me to get clean. But I was able to do it. And if I could do it, you can do it too. The main recommendation that I would have is that you approach it like you would approach any other really, really important part of your life. So a lot of you out there listening, you're business owners, maybe you have a fitness practice, maybe your body is good, maybe you take good care of your health, maybe you put a lot of effort into your relationships or your hobbies. There are things you've invested time and energy and even money into learning about so that you can perform well in them because they're important to you. And approaching this in the same sort of way that you would approach your business or your fitness or your health is my best overarching recommendation. Because when you give it that level of importance, there's no way that you're not going to make progress on it. The reason that people struggle to make progress on it is because they do treat it like it's just cigarettes or something, and they're like, I'm just going to stop. But it is frankly not that simple for a lot of people. So if you give it the kind of importance that it deserves, you're going to make headway on it. And a small, like, shameless plug here is one of the better ways that you can go about that is by hopping into my newsletter at magneticman.com, or sorry, magneticman.co, no M on the end, which is where I will send you a free guide on how exactly I went about quitting porn. And on a day-to-day basis, you'll have me in your inbox as well with very discreet emails. There's never porn in the title or anything like that. But having those touch points on a regular basis to give you lessons, give you insights, and just to help keep this process top of mind for you will be very helpful as well.
Yeah, I love that. Like what you said, it's like, how do you address a problem? You read about it, you research about it, you try to understand the problem. And when it's time to fix it, you hire an expert, right? That's how we deal with business. That's how we deal with fitness. That's how we deal with our food, nutrition, a broken pipe in our house. We go to the plumber, not try to do it ourselves. So I love that. And guys, I will share Devin's newsletter link on the show notes so you don't have to remember it. You can just click it and you can go straight there. You will have a friend in your pocket and a reminder that, yes, this is a huge problem and it needs to be addressed and you are not alone. So that's the most important thing. There's always help, and it is also something, there is a lot of reward on the other side of it. When you finally come to the other side. So I want you guys to feel that. And of course, any women listening, the lesson is exactly the same. And if you want to check out Devin's newsletter, I guess that's fine too. He doesn't discriminate. So Devin, thank you so much for your time. And is there are there any like parting words that you want to share with our friends here on the podcast?
Thank you all for your time as well, for listening to what we've been talking about today. This is something that for me, it of course hits deep because it was born out of my own experiences and how much better my life has become as a result of quitting. So for me, this is a really deep personal thing that hits home, and more than that is a purpose for me. I fundamentally believe that a lot more people need to understand what is going on with porn and porn addiction and how unhealthy it is for them. And so I really just appreciate you guys being here and listening in. And it's really been a pleasure to be here. So thank you again, Carla.
Thank you, Devin. And to everyone who wants to check out Devin's newsletter or want to connect with him, I'll also d drop his Twitter so that you guys can get in touch. And if you have any comments, feel free to reply wherever you find this podcast, if that's on Apple or Spotify or YouTube. I'm also going to upload this on my YouTube, and or send me a message on Instagram. Tell me what you think. Let me know what your thoughts are. And if there's anything that you want to share or anything that stood out to you, I would really appreciate it. So Once again, thank you so much, guys, for sitting with me. I hope you enjoy this. It has been a great and deep conversation. I love having these conversations because these conversations need to be done in public, really, so that more people can be more aware. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys next week for another episode of None of Your Business. Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.